So as we transition to the panel, here, I'll get out of your way. I'll invite Jen and Jorge up. We've got Sergio and Rosita, who have been following Jesus for a long time. Jen and Jorge Uriostegui, I practiced that, who have also been following Jesus. Combined, they're at 152 years of following Jesus. Here's why I say that. Because we're talking about something difficult, right? We're talking about expectations. We're talking about brokenness and beauty. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about sinners. And so when they share what they share, I want you to hear that they have been at this for a while. I want you to hear the hope that's there, but I also want you to hear that Jesus walks us through difficulties. And so I'd like to open up with our first question, thinking about all of this, thinking about brokenness, thinking about beauty, thinking about sin and redemption. To start with, how did thinking about the past, thinking about when you were first married, thinking about how you grew up, how did your past brokenness affect the expectations you had of your spouse? And how did you work through it? How did you become aware of it? What did that look like for you guys?
So I'd like to start by defining brokenness as I see it. So I look at brokenness in sort of two ways. One is a natural, one is spiritual. From a spiritual perspective, our sinfulness, right? Our inherent sinful nature. But secondly, the external spiritual attacks that come at us. From a natural perspective, the hurts from our past, that would be the things that are withheld from us, love withheld, as well as the things that are inflicted, pain that is inflicted upon us. And so for me, I grew up in a non-Christian home, and my dad drank a lot, and when he was drunk, he would be somewhat violent to a degree, call the police, and just very horrific kind of situations. My mom, in turn, would become angry at the whole situation, and she took out her anger on us kids, and so things were volatile. They argued quite a lot, fought, yelled at each other, and yelled at us kids, and so I learned to withdraw. And so that was my defense mechanism. It just withdrew. Now, as for my wife.
So I also grew up in a very broken home between my parents, biological parents. They had four marriages, and that was filled with alcoholism, drug addiction, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and adultery. So by the time I was 12, my dad had left. I didn't see him for 10 years. And by the time I was 13, I had attempted suicide because of so much pain, 3 times. And at 19, my mom passed of a drug overdose. So all that brokenness was a part of my life until I was 26 and met Jesus and gave my life to him. So sinner to saint. And throughout the next 10 years, I was single, and he did a great work of healing in my life. And then I met this wonderful, godly man, and we said these amazing Christian vows, and I fully expected we were going to rock that perfectly. And you can imagine, got back from the honeymoon, and reality sunk in, and really we struggled a lot with communication. I did, specifically.
So as a result, our conflict looked like this. We would be angry with each other, fight with one another. My perceived anger from her would cause me to withdraw. And I would be angry for hours and angry even sometimes for days. I didn't even know I was capable of that, but that's what would happen. As a result, she would feel abandoned. And so without knowing it, we were stepping on each other's wounds. And the second part of your question of what do we do to work through it? Well, it just so happens that a week ago or so, it was our 16th anniversary, and somebody asked us, what's the secret to 16 years? Which does seems like nothing compared to 31. But so I said to him, well, we realized that a good marriage is not found. A good marriage is made. And that means that it takes work, it takes effort. And so as a result, we gleaned from various sources from seminars and conferences and counseling and more counseling and DVDs and you name it. We gleaned from all of these sources so that we can grow as a couple and really heal from our past.
And total dependence on Jesus. There's no other way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Sergio and Josita, how did you guys work through that in your story and your past expectations and how they came into marriage and what that self-awareness looks like? Their story and now your story.
Like I said not long ago, that Jesus meets you all the way from the spectrum. Mm-hmm. By God's grace, we have had a beautiful marriage since we started. We come from more solid families. Yeah. But you also face some of the trials that I've mentioned. Something that we, from the very beginning, we established is that we were not going to let go a day, that we will not go to bed mad at each other. It could be 1 a.m, 2 a.m, we were going to talk about it. And even if we don't agree, but we'll not go to sleep until we kiss and hug and leave it there. And by God's grace, God has given us the grace to do that. So it's from wherever you have come in life, and I said this before, we've seen many couples in ministry. The key is not how you started, because you can start terribly. The key is how do you hang into God's truth and promises and are willing to surrender to that along the way. Yeah. That's going to be the key of how you're going to continue doing. Like we have seen, like when we were talking to Jorge and Jen, and just hearing their story, I was like, guys, we need to hear more of your story. So I should stop talking very quickly. Because, again, it's not how you start. I believe that many couples are discouraged because, like, oh, is that we have this past. Hmm. Yes. But what's the future that God wants for you? Yeah. That's where you need to focus. Hold into that promises. Hold into God's truth. Hold into his grace and keep walking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about how, you know, not how you start. We're talking about holding on to the future. But in the in-between, as you're understanding more of your brokenness, but you're trying to hold on to hope, how do you communicate in the middle of that? What does that look like? What communication wasn't really helping when you were seeing your brokenness, and what communication was helping you? Talking about self-awareness and things that you guys are.
Oh, self-awareness and brokenness. That was paramount for me. I had to come to realize that when I would feel unloved from George, when he'd withdraw, understandably, if I was communicating in a very poorly way, which I did often, he would withdraw, and then I had to become aware, how am I communicating and how is it affecting him? So if I'd yell, I'm part Italian, I come from a family of yellers, hopefully I'm not alone, but I would slam cabinets, I would, my tones would be sarcastic or just cutting, even without cussing. So that would affect him, he'd withdraw, I'd feel unloved, and that communication pattern continued on for probably the first 6 or 7 years of our marriage, a really long time. So there was a turning point in our life that we were on a road trip with our younger son, and verbal conflict had arose about something, I don't remember, but it got so escalated that George had pulled over and he said, you know, if things are going to continue like this, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. Hmm. And at the time, I didn't know if he meant suicide or divorce. Hmm. And I didn't think it was suicide. Of course, I asked to be sure, and I quickly realized, no, he didn't mean suicide, he meant divorce. Both are horrible, of course. And in that same car ride, our son is in the back seat, and I think he was 6, and he yelled out, "Stop!" And the pain of all of us in the car at that moment was so intense, but it was such an eye-opening moment for me because I had to draw the circle around myself, which we had learned from Reengage the year prior, yeah. Obviously not putting well into practice still, that I had to stop looking at what was George doing that was causing me pain and waiting for him to change, and I had to look at what was I doing that was causing him pain, yeah. And our son pain, and myself. So I again, dependence on God, cried out to God for help, and he gave us that help. The next 9 months, as God had it, Reengaged was then offering a class on love and respect. We took that class for 9 long months, like birthing a baby, and God used that to transform my communication. It was not easy, it was painful, but it was transformative.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
So similarly, I also had to refocus and look at myself, draw the circle as well, and identify the areas that I needed growth and improvement, and the things that where I was being selfish. And so it really stood out, Ephesians, where it talks about Jesus loving the church to the degree that he sacrificed himself, and that's what we're called to do as husbands. And so, you know, I took that on as, okay, not just, you know, reading it, but embodying it, living it out. And so I learned that in every way I had to put my wife above myself. And that meant sacrificially living, right? But besides that was basically, being provider, protector for my wife, and not just protector physically for, you know, for her health and well-being, but for her emotions. And that means that I had to safeguard myself and what I did, because the things that I would do or not do would or could affect her emotional health and well-being. And so, so all of that. And so all the other things, you know, praying for my wife and loving her well, learning her love language, speaking her love language, and studying her. And so all of those things that we've learned from Reengage, as well as other sources. And so implement that.
Yeah. How would you guys share how communication grew for you guys?
I think within our brokenness in our marriage, I think communication is really extending grace to one another because we don't always speak the same language.
Yeah.
So his expectations, as we were saying, and his self-awareness, and mine as well, is always thinking, how can I make this work? Yeah. And when there are conflicts, my communication should always be remembering, how does the Lord communicate with me when I am not doing as he wishes, right? Yeah. So instead of maybe punishing him because I'm suffering, that I want him to suffer too, is being able to share my heart. Yeah. And not always expect for him to understand me fully, but at least I can share with him what I'm going through. Yeah. And I think something that's very important too is to be surrounded by a community, yeah, people, godly people, mature in the faith, that can speak into your life, yeah, and are close enough to you that can tell you, you know, we're seeing this in your marriage. Are you guys okay? Yeah. And periodically, being accountable to someone, I think that will help us so much in our own personal communication, just being around other people that are more mature than us in the faith and in marriage.
Yeah.
Very quickly, something that Jen just said, and it struck me, you can speak to your spouse without cussing and still use harmful words. Sarcastic comments, the way that you express to one another, it can be very, very hurtful. See, so the standard for the believer is like, oh, I don't cuss anymore. Jesus is my Savior. Yeah, but how do you use your words? How are you using your words? Are you using your words to build up? The scripture says that our words should be seasoned with salt, right? For the edification of others. And that's how the way that we talk about, the way that we express about our spouse, when our spouse is not there, yeah, the comments that I make to other people about my spouse, all that is part, it's all that is coming to the mix, yeah, right? And not only the things that we should stop saying, but the things that we maybe not used to say or it's not one of our practices, but I can start implementing. Yeah. Something that we have said to each other is we're never going to leave the house without saying, I love you, yeah, and with when kissing each other, or where we come back receiving each other with I love you and a kiss. Yeah. Yeah. Because when you leave the house, you never know when it's going to be the last time that you leave the house. It's, something could happen. Where, if something would happen, what would you rather be the last words that your spouse heard from you? I love you, God bless you, or some kind of fight that you had, and then each one go on their ways. Yeah. Maybe this is a very morbid example, but yet it could, it's reality. What are the last words that I want my spouse to carry with her, with him, the rest of the day?
Yeah.
In the daily activities. I'll say this very quickly. When my dad came to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 11. But my dad came to the Lord later in life. And even though my mom was a very godly woman, in my household, there was not a culture of affection. My dad never told us, love you, when we were younger. When he came to Jesus, things changed. And he started doing things that he never did before. Saying, I love you, kissing us as his sons and his daughters. And the household changed. And I carry this now into my marriage. So again, it's not about how was your upbringing, how did you start it. With Jesus, you can always change and bring. If you're not used to say your spouse, I love you, you can start tonight. Yeah, seriously, after this, you only need 30 seconds.
That's right. To do that. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Thank you for sharing from both perspectives, right? From a story, of brokenness leading into the beauty of and the Lord. If you guys didn't catch already, Jen and George are re-engaged leaders and lead groups through this. So exactly what you said about being in community, they've experienced it for themselves and they generate it within a group trying to help navigate these stories. One last encouragement is you see brokenness, you see beauty in both the big and the small ways. And so we're going to transition into a time of reflection. This one's going to be a little bit different. We were giving you time to talk to each other. Becky's going to walk us through this. But we, right before a break, we want to sit in the space for a little bit longer and see what the Lord might do for us. And so I'm going to pray entering into that time, and then Becky's going to come up and walk us through that reflection question. God, we are grateful that whether big or small things, Lord, you are present, helping us to look more like you and helping our marriages to reflect you and the relationship you have with your people more. I pray, Lord, as we reflect and as we work through what can be a sensitive topic in brokenness in all sorts of ways, Lord, I pray that you would be present here in a special way, communicating your grace and your mercy and the comfort of your presence as we walk through the brokenness that breaks in our marriages and the brokenness you're seeking to heal, that our marriages might reflect the gospel in more and more beautiful ways. We entrust the rest of this morning to you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, panel. We're going to go now to your programs to page 9. And we're going to take just a few moments. And this is going to be a little bit different than the first one. Jorge and Jen mentioned the principle of draw the circle. This is something we talk a lot about in our Re-Engage Marriage Ministry program. But basically, it's saying, draw the circle right here and focus here. So the invitation right now is for you to, in the quietness of your own mind before the Lord, is to process this question. How do you see your brokenness come out most in your marriage? And there's a wordle there with some words. Maybe some of those words represent what's in your heart, or maybe as you look back over the last week, you can see some of these things coming out. Or maybe there's some words not represented there that you want to write. So in the quietness, I just want to invite you to do that self-reflection.